Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. We are off and running on this Thursday, August the 6th, 2020. 15 minutes past the hour, and we have got a great show this morning because it's one of those mornings where anything can happen because it's just you and me on the toll-free line. Here we are, no guest scheduled in the studio this morning, and I love mornings like this where we can just talk about everything that's been going on all week. These are some of my favorite mornings here on this station. Now, I have a lot to talk about, and I hope you have a lot to talk about as well. Phone lines will remain open, 740-383-9944. On this Thursday. Now, don't forget, coming up later on today, we have On the Air with Glenn Coble following this program. That'll be on from 10:10 until 12 noon. Then we have Swap Shop today, which is picking up quite a bit. I guess there were quite a few calls last week. 12 to 1 with Swap Shop today and the Adam the Computer Guy show from 2 to 3. You know, it's funny, in radio, and a lot of stations, but honestly, I don't think they've ever had one at any station I ever worked at, which tells you the stations that I've worked at. There is something called a cough or a sneeze button. They call it a cough button, but it really can be for just about anything. It could be for a cough. It could be for a sneeze. As weird as it is to say, it could be for a burp. Any noise that would come out of your mouth that you cannot stop, that's going to go over the airwave. It's a button that you can hit very quickly that shuts off the microphone as if you would not have time to shut off the microphone. So you can sneeze or cough or burp or do whatever you have to do and the audience doesn't have to hear it. Well, that just happened moments ago because obviously I drink a soda every morning. So it was one of those instances where obviously something was going to happen and I felt it coming on mid last sentence there. So I just turned down the microphone, and I don't know if people ever notice I'm doing that or not, because I try to get to the end of my sentence, and as most of you know, a sneeze or a cough or whatever comes out so fast that you're immediately back on the microphone. So I don't know if people ever really know that that's going on, but because I don't think you realize if the microphone's on or not. But that was one of those moments there moments ago where the microphone had to be shut off because, it's weird. I don't know if it's impolite to do that into a microphone or not. Because sometimes you really don't know it's coming and you can't stop it, even if you do have a cough button. A sneeze comes on very quick, and sometimes you don't even have the forethought or foresight to hit that cough button or turn down your microphone. So it's just going to come over the microphone anyway. And I always think, is that such a bad thing for somebody to hear you sneeze into the radio or cough? Now, I'll tell you what I hate, and nobody ever does turn down the microphone for this. I hate when people clear their throat on the air. Now, this is funny. I didn't plan to start the show this morning this way, but this is on my mind, I guess, because I had to do turn down the mic there a few minutes ago. Okay, here's the clearing the mic rule to me. If you're doing it for effect, I don't mind it. If you're doing it like in a jokey way, like you're already on the air and you know you're on the air, and we're saying, okay, let's get ready for the show today. Okay, now see, that I don't mind, because I wasn't really clearing my throat. I guess you are, but you're not doing it to really clear your throat. You're doing it because you're telling people you're getting ready to do the show. So I don't mind that. But what I don't like is when somebody clearly is having problems with their throat, and they just continue to clear their throat throughout the broadcast. Nothing bothers me more because it sounds so bad. And I'll tell you something else that I don't like. I certainly don't mind laughter on the radio because I do think that laughter is great, and I think it's great to hear people laugh. But I hate when people laugh constantly, because I'll tell you this. If you have a loud laugh, I don't have a loud laugh. I just don't, because I can see the levels on the machine here. My laugh is a little more quiet, I guess. But some people have very boisterous, loud laughs. And it's okay once, because a laugh is a spontaneous thing, and it's okay to hear people laugh on the air. But when somebody continues to laugh through the entire broadcast, even if they're finding things very funny, it gets a little disconcerting. And the worst thing is when they're laughing at their own jokes. See, that's awful. Because I'm not even sure they're really laughing, to be honest. I think they're just laughing because they think that's where a laugh goes, because they meant that joke to be funny. Listen to that sometime. These are the weird things I think about. See, I was born with a heightened sense of curiosity, so I pay attention to this stupid stuff. Now, nobody else probably does, but I do pay attention to this stuff. And if you ever notice, if I say something and somebody else laughs, well, that's probably a genuine laugh, because they didn't know that that was coming. But if they say it and they laugh, that's probably not genuine, because it's usually not spontaneous, because they were thinking about it in their head. And so that comes off, it's like they're telling you that this is supposed to be funny instead of serious. And when you do that continuously over a period of time, it drives me nuts on the radio, because some people's laughs are very loud, and you can see they're going way off the level chart because they're laughing right into the microphone. Oh, nothing drives me more crazy. But if it's a genuine laugh and somebody else made you laugh, well, that's great. I mean, there's nothing better than that. But those big, loud, Phyllis Diller-ish laughs, that's not, I don't know. If you do that continuously, I think it can drive you nuts. What a weird way. I killed 8 minutes there. Does anybody out there in the listening audience understand what I'm saying when it comes to, are there weird things that you hear on the radio, especially talk radio, where we talk for long periods of time, that drive you nuts? Like if you hear somebody sneeze into the microphone, if you hear somebody cough into the microphone, if you hear somebody clearing their throat, if you hear somebody laughing continuously into the microphone, and talking over each other. Oh, man, talking over each other drives me nuts. Because if you are talking at the same time as somebody else, first of all, neither one of you heard what the other person said. And that's ridiculous, because why are you talking to each other? And number two, I don't think the people in the studio realize how jibber-jabber-ish that sounds to the audience if you're both talking at the same time. You can't really hear either person very clearly. And I don't know why. You know, I don't know if that's ADD, which has become more prevalent in recent years, because I think we're all on our cell phones all the time and none of us have an attention span anymore and we cannot listen to other people. We can't take the time to listen. But when people talk at the same time, it drives me nuts. I mean, it's bound to happen every so often. You know, nobody's perfect and it's bound to happen every so often. But when people are constantly talking at the same time and it usually happens because it's a spontaneous conversation or an argument, and people are trying to hit their ideas as quickly as possible. They can't wait until the person finishes their sentence. But you really have to do that, especially on radio, because other people are listening. Now, if you're in your own living room, you can yell at each other all day long and talk over each other. Who cares? If one person, if each of you are hearing the points, that's fine. But I don't think that comes across very well on radio. I don't know. Am I out in the woods here? Let me know. 740-383-9944. Pet peeves of radio. Does anybody have those besides me? Burping, coughing, sneezing, clearing your throat, laughing, talking at the same time. Give me a buzz. I'd love to know your thoughts on this. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. You know, I don't know what it's been this week, but the phone lines have been a little quiet this week. Now, I think there could be two reasons for this. Number one, we've had a lot of guests in the last 2 weeks. I mean, we have had guest after guest after guest. We've had Governor Strickland. We've had Superintendent Arruci. We have had the amazing Kreskin on twice. Ted Williams has been here. We had Tim Streed from the Ohio High School Athletic Association. We had an author on Monday. We had David Pepper on yesterday. We had Tracy Kinsler on this week. We had Norman Lloyd, the oldest working actor in Hollywood. So the last 2 weeks, we've had a lot of guests. Terry Tackett was in here last week for 2 hours. So maybe that's partially it, is we've had a lot of guests. Thunderbolt Patterson has been on. And I have noticed over the years that when you're having a conversation on the air, people tend not to want to call in because I think they don't want to interrupt your conversation, although nobody here ever matters. Or cares about that. If you want to call in and interrupt our conversation, feel free. We like the calls. But I think people get a little, they get polite. You know, they're very courteous of what you're doing. So they don't talk over, or they don't want to jump in on the conversation, I guess. But always feel free on this station to jump in on whatever conversation's going on. And again, the phone lines are open right now. Or if there's anything else you'd like to talk about, if you ever want to put a topic on a table like today, at a morning like this morning when we've really got nothing to talk about, give me a call, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. If there's anything going on in the community, anything you just want to ask a question about, anything that's on your mind, give me a buzz, 740-383-9944. All right. What else do we have on the subject this morning? Okay. Here's something I want to talk about. And I did not plan to talk about this morning either until yesterday. Okay. I don't know how many people out here in the listening audience watch this program, Big Brother. But it's been going on for like 20 years now. Now, if you don't know what Big Brother is, it's on CBS, I think. Big, powerful Tiffany Network CBS. The big conglomerate that is CBS. Okay. Now, what they do and have done for 20 years now is they lock a bunch of people in a house and basically encourage them to be conniving with each other, to vote people out of the house until there's one person left in the house, and then they give them a boatload of money. That's all there is. And for however long this show is on, I don't know how long it's on. I think it's on for like a month or two, something like that. They basically videotape all the fights and arguments that these people have in the house. That's the show. Honest to goodness, that's the premise of this show that's been on for 20 years. The show has been on for 20 years with that premise. Lock a bunch of people in the house and watch them connive against each other, show all the drama, and then one person gets a bunch of money because they haven't been voted off the house. Or voted out of the house, I guess I should say. Now, why is this a show? See, this is what's wrong with America, is that that is even a show. Why? Who would want to watch that? I mean, but here's the thing. Yesterday, I saw at least 4 or 5 posts just talking about how they were so excited that this show was coming back yesterday. Why? Why is that show exciting? Who cares? I couldn't even watch it. You know, I was going to try to watch it last night just so I could come in here this morning and tell you how ridiculous the show was. Because I will tell you this. I have to confess here that when this show first started, well, early in the run of the show, I was living with somebody who was a big fan of this show. and a big fan. I'm talking about at that time, watched it. It's on like three times a week. Watched it every time it was on. Used to DVR it so they could watch it if they were going to miss it. Huge fan of the show. And so, consequently, I guess I did see episodes in the past. But this has been many years ago now. So I know what the show is. But I cannot watch it on my own. I was going to watch it last night, and I can't. Just can't do it. Because I don't understand that show. Now, here's another thing. I saw somebody who I consider to be a very smart, intellectual, brilliant person write last night that this was the best thing to happen to them all year, that this show has come on. Now, I understand this has been a rough year. We're in a pandemic. This has been a very rough year. But that Big Brother, the premiere of Big Brother, is the best thing that's happened to you all year. This is depressing. Holy mackerel. Does anybody out there in the listening audience watch this ridiculous show? And I even hate to say that, because maybe you like it. Maybe you like this show. And tell me why you like it. Because I, for the life of me, I can't figure it out. Let me know. 740-383-9944. What is it about Big Brother that people want to know? And I don't even know how they're doing it during a pandemic, because it's my understanding it happens kind of live. Live-ish. I mean, I think it's going on right now. I don't think it was taped 6 months ago, like Survivor. I really don't know the particulars. See, that's the problem. I really don't know how they do it. How do you do it during a pandemic? Are they all wearing masks? Are they still all locked in the house? Do they have to stay 6 feet apart from each other? I don't understand any of this. Does anybody know anything about the travesty that is Big Brother? 740-383-9944. Let me know. I know you've seen the commercials for it. They run them all the time on Facebook and various other outlets where you would promote things. I just don't understand it. I don't know why why people would watch that. But maybe there is a reason. I'm sure there's things I watch that people have no idea why I'm watching them. But that is beyond my mind. 740-383-9944. Give me a buzz, and maybe we can figure this out together. And then I got to thinking to myself, well, maybe I should have my own Big Brother. Because not too long ago, actually it was right before this pandemic, there was an idea that I was going to take a road trip with three people, actually, is what it turned into. So it would have been four people all together taking a road trip, and at one point we decided we were going to go up to Detroit. That was the idea, because that was a day trip, and we were going to audio tape the car ride up there, what we did up there, and the car ride back. And that would be something maybe people would want to listen to. So I guess that's a little Big Brother-ish. Certainly we wouldn't be together for days. But, you know, I'm not even sure I could do that anymore. Because who would really want to listen to it, to be honest? Who would really want to listen to it? And I'll tell you another problem with this. There are certain words you cannot say on the airwaves, and I think some of these people who would have been on this car ride have, the language is a little too colorful. I think they can't turn off the colorful language, if you know what I mean. A matter of fact, we had an episode yesterday with one of these people, and I'm not going to get into it again because I talked about it for 2 days, but we got into this episode where one of these people was talking about a book that they had read, and I said I did not understand the book, and their response to me was something not out of the English language. I don't even have the index card with me anymore, so I'm not going to repeat it again this morning. I've put the index card away after talking about it for 2 days, but it was just odd. I still don't know what it is. And I invited this person to explain this, because I don't like to bring somebody up without allowing them the time to explain whatever they were saying or meaning by what they did. Now, that didn't happen yesterday. Now, I'm not saying they weren't busy. They very well could have been busy. But I still don't know what they were talking about. I don't know what they meant. And they have colorful language, too, by the way. So maybe it was best they did not show up, because we don't need colorful language on this particular station. But if anybody knows anything about Big Brother or why that's important, let me know. Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. Oh, this is interesting. Somebody yesterday sent me a picture, and I really did not know that this had ever happened. Somebody sent me a picture of President Harding. Now, I'm guessing, well, it had to be between 1920 and 1923, because that's when he was president. But it sent me a picture. They sent me a picture of President Harding over at Lincoln Field, and I think it's the current Lincoln Field that's still over there, standing on the field with the Chicago Cubs. Now, I don't know. I didn't have time to look it up. But did the Chicago Cubs win the World Series between 1920 and 1923? I don't think they did. Because if I remember right, when we were covering the World Series of 2016, when the Cubs won the World Series again, by the way, over the Cleveland Indians, it seemed to me, if I look back on that, like the Cubs had not won the World Series in something like 105 or 106 years. So that would put them back like to 1910, since they had won a World Series until 2016. So that would not have been between 1920 and 1923. So I'm not sure why the Cubs would have been here with President Harding between 20 and 23. I don't know, and I don't know why President Harding would have been in Marion at that time, because obviously he was living in Washington at that time, being president of the United States. So I'm not sure why a Chicago team would have been here the same time that President Harding would have been here if they had not won the World Series, and why they would have met in Marion to begin with, but it is an interesting picture. And so my question this morning for all you history buffs is, and maybe you've seen the picture. It's online. I think it's in the Growing Up in Marion, Ohio, Growing Up in Marion, Ohio Facebook page. It, is the Lincoln Field that they're showing the same Lincoln Field? Was it built prior to 1920? I think it was. The stadium over there, the original baseball stadium at Lincoln Park. Was that built prior to 1920? I believe it was, so I guess this would be the same field, but I'm not for sure. Does anybody know the answer to that? And the other question is, does anybody know why President Harding would be meeting with the Chicago Cubs somewhere in between 1920 and 1923 I don't know, why would you meet at Lincoln Park? Was that when Marion had the pro baseball team? Maybe the Cubs were here playing that pro baseball team. Did the pro baseball team that was here in Marion play at Lincoln Park? I don't know if they did or not. I would guess that's probably where they played, unless there was another field somewhere that was torn down at some point. But does anybody know anything about this? You know, we do have a little bit of baseball history here in Marion. Does anybody have the answers to these questions? Did Marion's baseball team, the professional baseball team that we had here, did they play at Lincoln Park here in Marion? I don't know if they did or not. And do you know anything about that baseball team? I can't even remember what their name was. What was the baseball team that played here in Marion? That when Marion had its own pro baseball, was it a minor league team? See, I can't remember that. Somebody's going to have to fill me in on that. I have not done my research properly on this morning. Did Marion have a minor league team or a pro team? And would this have been in the early 1920s? Is that when this all happened? Because I'm still trying to figure out why the Chicago Cubs would have been here. Because that's a pro team. And I don't think the Chicago Cubs had won any World Series between 20 and 23. So again, I'm not sure why they were here. And if President Harding is living in Washington, D.C. at this particular point, I'm not sure why he was in Marion, Ohio. So does anybody know or have any ideas on any of this? Why would President Harding have been at Lincoln Park with the Chicago Cubs sometime in between 1920 and 1923? Does anybody know? Does anybody know about Marion's pro baseball team? Does anybody know anything this morning? Another slow morning here. 740-383-9944. The other thing I think might be causing these slow mornings, not just the guests that we've had on, but it's so nice outside in the morning. I bet a lot of people are outside getting a lot of work done at this time of the morning. The weather has been tremendous at this time of the morning. You know, we're talking great temperatures, no humidity, just the best for August. You know, we call August the hazy, lazy days of summer. Not so far. August has been very nice. Temperatures almost perfect. So you got to love that. And I think maybe that's what a lot of people are out doing. I bet people are mowing at this time of the morning. I bet people are going out and doing yard work. People are doing all their horticulture work with the flowers and pulling weeds and all that stuff at this time of the morning. So maybe that's it as well. But the phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. Do you know anything about Marion's baseball team? Was it major league? Was it minor league? I'm getting a message here on Facebook, so maybe it's an answer to something. All right. Oh, here we go. Here is the answer to why President Harding was meeting with the Chicago Cubs. The date that he met with them would have been September 2nd, 1920. Well, how about that? We're coming up on the 100th anniversary of President Harding meeting the Chicago Cubs here in less than a month. He met them on September 2nd, 1920, and here's the reasoning behind it. On September 2nd, 1920, the Cubs arrived in Marion with Cubs ownership and press to watch the game. The Cubs started off visiting the Harding home in the morning with Senator Harding addressing the team. The team then had lunch at the Marion Club before making their way to Lincoln Park to prepare for the game. Okay, well, see, I don't understand that. See, an answer brings more questions. Okay, September 2nd would have been baseball time. And I guess this would have been right before the election, because President Harding was elected in November of 1920, so he would not have been president when this picture was taken. This picture was taken September 2nd, 1920, so that would have been about 2 months before he became president in November of 1920. Well, elected. He didn't take office till January of 21. Okay, so he was actually a senator, so whoever put this picture up on Facebook, yes, it is President Harding, but actually the picture that he took was with the Cubs was when he was actually a senator, September 2nd, 1920. Okay, but let me read this again because I don't quite understand this. On September 2nd, 1920, the Cubs arrived in Marion with Cubs ownership and press to watch the game. Well, what game were they watching? Because it said the Cubs started off visiting the Harding home in the morning. And why would they be visiting the Harding home? Because at that point, Harding was not a president. And I don't even think he was living in Marion. He was a senator, so I believe he was living in Washington, D.C. He was a sitting senator at that point. They visited the Harding home in the morning with Senator Harding addressing the team. Was he giving them a pep talk? This doesn't make any sense to me at all. Was President Harding giving the Chicago Cubs a pep talk over at the Harding home? You got to go out there and win. All of a sudden, President Harding is the Gipper. Win one for the Gipper. The team then had lunch at the Marion Club Does anybody know where the Marion Club was? Is that the country club or is that a different club? Before making their way to Lincoln Park to prepare for the game. Okay. So the Cubs did play at Lincoln Park, I guess. But the Cubs arrived in Marion with Cubs ownership and press to watch the game. Well, what game were they watching on September 2nd, 1920? Does that mean that the ownership and the press were coming to watch the Cubs game, not the team? I don't understand. And why were they? Why did they visit the Harding home? Because that would not have been a big place to visit on September 2nd, 1920, because President Harding would have not been president yet. And actually, there was many ballots at that year's convention. So I guess he would have been the nominee, the Republican nominee. Now, see, you couldn't do that today. The Republican nominee for President of the United States 2 months before the election could not be giving a pep talk to a baseball team. But apparently President Harding did. Or he addressed them. They went to Harding home in the morning with Senator Harding addressing the team. Now, does anybody know why a man running for president in Ohio would address the Chicago Cubs? And what about the team they were playing? Did he just forget them altogether? I'm here. I'm a Cubs fan. I'm addressing the Cubs. I don't have time to go over and give a pep talk to that other team on September 2nd, 1920. There's always more questions than answers, aren't there? 740-383-9944. Well, now that we know the answer to that question, does anybody have any more to add to that? That's very strange. September 2nd, 1920, the Chicago Cubs came to Marion, apparently to play a game at Lincoln Park. And for some reason, they went over to the Harding home that morning, and then Senator Harding, who was the Republican nominee for president, an election that would take place two months away from that day, is giving the Cubs a pep talk. What's it all about? Go ahead, caller.
They were playing the Kerrigan Taylors. Gotta go.
Oh, the Kerrigan who? The Kerrigan? Okay. Taylors. Was it the Kerrigan Taylors? Is that right? They were playing the Kerrigan Taylors. So who are the Kerrigan Taylors? Is that an Ohio team? Oh, man, we're trying to figure this all out now. I wonder why our caller had to go there. Was he in the witness relocation program? He might be at work. You know, that certainly could it be. Let's see, Kerrigan Taylors. Is this a baseball team? Does anybody know anything about baseball in the 1920s? Is anybody out there a baseball historian who can help me out with this? See, apparently there was somebody in baseball named Bill Kerrigan, but I don't know who the Kerrigan Taylors are. Does anybody know? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Apparently, Bill Kerrigan, who was alive until 1969, was a Major League Baseball catcher. But I don't know about a team. The Kerrigan Taylors? Was that what the caller said? Maybe that's what they said. Maybe somebody heard it better than I did. Did the caller say Kerrigan Taylors? That's who they were playing? The Kerrigan Taylors? Does anybody know if President Harding gave a pep talk to the Kerrigan Taylors on September 2nd, 1920? I don't get that. Does anybody, because at this point it's only conjecture, it's nearly 100 years ago, 100 years ago next month. Does anybody know why this event would have taken place? Does anybody know why why Senator Warren G. Harding would have been giving a pep talk to the Chicago Cubs on September 2nd, 1920 on the lawn? Because I doubt he could fit the entire team in his home. On the lawn of his home? I don't understand any of this. 740-383-9944. I'm very happy for the picture because, as many of you, you know, the Chicago Cubs are my favorite team. I love there. Here are two things that I love because of WGN television being beamed into this area for so long because of cable television. Any type of memorabilia that has to do with the Chicago Cubs. I love anything Chicago Cubs. Have always loved the Chicago Cubs. So that's one thing I like. So, you know, here are birthday and Christmas and just any old day gift ideas for me. Now, I'm kidding, but I love anything Chicago Cubs. I love that. I love anything that has to do with President Harding. Unusual, because I like to collect that stuff. And I also like anything that has to do with Bozo the Clown, because Bozo the Clown was on WGN every morning for many, many years. So those are things that I collect. Not a lot of Bozo memorabilia going around, though. But the Chicago Cubs stuff I have, and President Harding stuff I have. So those are things I like. All right, we got another message here. Let's see. Oh, now here we go. How about this? The 1920 Cubs helped elect President Warren G. Harding. Now, there's a whole spiel here. Oh, now, here's another photo. It's President Harding. I don't know if he's throwing out a... Well, no, see, it would have been Senator Harding, because this happened September 2nd, 1920. It looks like he's throwing out a pitch over there at Lincoln Park. He's throwing out a pitch very bad. President Harding, to be honest, he looks a little strange in this picture. He's got white pants on, and I don't know what color of the jacket because the picture's black and white, but he's got a pair of white pants on, and he's got a hat on. Not a baseball hat, which you think you might have on for a baseball game, but he's got, like, I don't even know what you call these hats. They're like hats that tap dancers wear. You know those tap dancer hats that people wear? Like Sammy Davis Jr. used to wear those hats. That's the type of hat he's got on. And he's got his knees bent. I don't know what he's doing in this particular picture, but good luck for him. All right, here we go. Let's see here. Okay, this article's talking about how the Cubs visited the White House to visit President Obama after they won the 2016 World Series. Okay. Well, apparently according to this article, the last time the Cubs visited the White House prior to 2016 was in 1888 under the presidency of Grover Cleveland. The 1920 Cubs also found themselves particularly close to the office, but for a much different reason. Okay. Well, why is that? Okay, here we go. The Cubs' principal owner, Albert Lasker, was an advertising mogul in charge of marketing Republican presidential nominee Warren G. Harding to the country. During the initial months of his campaign, Harding was advertised partially based on his hobbies, namely golf. However, golf was viewed both as elitist and not very manly. Okay. So, I guess they decided to make him a golf or a baseball fan. And Harding was 55 at the time. So he went to a Cubs game, I guess. Okay, so when does this all come about? Okay, let's see here. Okay, here it is. Taking place on September 2nd, 1920 in Lincoln Park, the game... Okay, hold on. Let's go back here and find out why they were playing. Okay. Although it is likely several owners saw this orchestration... Okay, there's a whole story here about this. Apparently, this was some kind of conspiracy. So, if you like unsolved mysteries, you'll like this show this morning. Okay. The Cubs were in the midst of a sub-500 season and had no chance of making the playoffs. Lasker and Wrigley Jr., both ardent Harding supporters, derived a plan to have the Cubs play an exhibition game in Harding's hometown, Marion, Ohio, against the local semi-pro Kerrigan Taylors. Okay, local semi-pro team, that would have been our team. Kerrigan Taylors, like the caller said. Harding had played one season with the Taylors as a teenager and had a stake in the team, prompting locals to refer to him as the team's biggest fan. In order to make the game seem less manufactured, Lasker marketed as being the brainchild of Wrigley Jr., who had the idea of having a conversation with Harding in which the nominee talked about his playing days. After several professional teams refused to play in the game due to its political nature, they settled on the Kerrigan Taylors, billing it as Harding's hometown team, demonstrating his support for the Taylors. Okay. Embracing Harding's love for the team. This sounds like some kind of political coup. Although it is likely several owners saw this as an orchestration, they could not call for an investigation as they no longer oversaw baseball operations following the 1919 Black Sox scandal. Okay. So, people thought it was corrupt in a political move, which apparently it was. Taking place on September 2nd, 1920 in Lincoln Park, the game drew roughly 5,000 fans, 70 of whom were movie stars invited by Lasker. Now remember, he was the owner of the Cubs. In hope of portraying Harding as an everyman people relate to and admire, like Anthony Rizzo, surrounded by Chris Bryant as the movie stars. Prior to the game, Harding, outfitted with white trousers, a blue sport coat, and an evergreen straw hat, mingled with the fans and signed autographs for the Cubs, trying to convey the idea that he is just like every other real American. After greeting both teams and throwing several warm-up pitches, which definitely weren't for show, Harding took the mound to what the Marion Star described as an enthusiastic crowd equal to that of any World Series. Harding opened the game with three pitches. The first two were a tad outside, forcing Harding to throw a third one. Okay. Well, he threw the pitch. There's a whole story on this. I guess what we've learned here is that President Harding. Oh, we've got the. Is this the score of the game? Gosh, you can hardly read this thing. Looks about a bazillion years old here. What was the final score of the game here? Okay, here it is. The Cubs managed to score one run in the third and added two more in the seventh to win 3-1 over the Ohio team. Regardless of the final score, the crowd thoroughly enjoyed the game, impressed with the home team's effort, and enamored with Harding's new images. Or his new image, I guess it would be. Okay. So, that's what we know about this team. In addition to demonstrating his pitching prowess, Harding let loose his baseball knowledge to reporters who were at the game. You can't win a ball game with a one-man team. Well, there's some brilliant advice from President Harding. So I guess that's what happened. It was set up by Lasker, who owned the Chicago Cubs at the time. See, there's always a story, who wanted to support President Harding, so he brought the Cubs here to Marion to play at Wrigley Field at Lincoln Park on the 2nd of September, 1920, and that's why there's a picture of him there. But I'll tell you, this picture of President Harding throwing out the opening pitch, woo, gee whiz. That's what you wear to a baseball game, by the way. You wear white pants, a blue sports coat, and a straw hat. That's how you, that's when, if I'm going to throw out the first pitch somewhere, that's what I'd be wearing. White pants, blue sports coat, straw hat. September 2nd, 1920. So apparently it was all the way to make Harding seem that he was not elitist because he liked golf. And he liked sports that did not have to do with apparently being a good old American guy as he was running for president. So apparently this whole game was nothing but propaganda. And I guess they were playing the Kerrigan Taylors semi-pro Ohio team. Well, there's your history moment this morning. We might come back and talk a little more about this. Baseball, President Harding, what a tie-in. An event that happened just about 100 years ago. I'll be back after this very short but important timeout here on the History Channel.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 LP Marion, Ohio, the talking place. From legendary comedian Orson Bean singing the Baloney Song.
Two Irishmen and a Hebrew once went out for recreation, and they took enough provisions along to spend a week's vacation. But they got lost out in the woods, the nights grew dark and lonely, and at last all of their food ran out except a piece of bologna. Now one of them said as he picked up a knife, there's no use in us carving, for if we do, then we keep us all from starving. So I suggest we go to bed.